I, you know, often see a lot of women staying in relationships like this because of their kids and their family. And I truly understand that. I do. And it's hard. And being able to just say, okay, but, you know, I want to be the best version of myself. And I think in any of the situations with guilt, I want to be the best version of me. And this isn't serving me. Welcome to the Mama Shrink Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Cynthia Hauver, licensed psychologist, certified coach, and Gen X mama of two amazing boys. My belief, you can't be an awesome mama unless you're taking care of yourself first. And that's exactly why I created Mama Shrink. You'll get my 20 plus years of experience combined with some very real life struggles. And together we'll unpack the mental health, the physical health, even spiritual health to get you loving your mama life again. Listen, these kids of ours, they're only young once, and it goes by so fast, and you're never ever gonna get this time back. We must learn to enjoy this wild ride of parenting. So if you're up for it, mama, let's do this. Hey, mamas, before we jump into today's episode, I just want to remind you that although I am a licensed psychologist, I'm not serving here as your psychologist. This podcast is not a substitute for direct mental health care. If you're struggling with a mental health issue of any kind, please reach out to a licensed professional. You can also contact the National Suicide Crisis Line by calling or texting 988. There's no shame in having a mental health issue, and it should always be taken seriously. Welcome back, mamas, to another episode of the Mama Shrink Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Cynthia Hauver, licensed psychologist, certified coach, and so happy to be doing this episode today where I am going to focus on guilt, the dreaded guilt. It is so hard. This is an emotion that, it's a big one for me. And I often sit and wonder, like, where did all this guilt come from? And I've done a lot of work on myself. I've done a lot of research over the years on guilt. And I'm pretty sure I know how I've gotten to this place of guilt being one of the primary things that really I've struggled with for the majority of my life and still working through it. So I know there are a lot of people out there who struggle with guilt, and I wanted to do an episode on this. Clearly, I can't cover every component on guilt. It could be a whole book. It could be a whole course. It could be years of therapy. You know, it could be lots of things. But just a basic understanding of guilt and how I can try and help you to let some of it go, and some things I've learned along the way going through my own journey of processing guilt. And for moms, guilt is a huge deal because we're always trying, you know, to do the best for our kids. And guilt is a big thing that can come into play and sometimes make us do some things that maybe aren't the best choices in the long run. So let's dive into all things guilt. So I just want to start by saying, you know, guilt can come in two different ways. So there's two main types of guilt, and there's objective guilt and there's subjective guilt. So when we talk about objective guilt, what we're saying is that it's like we did something wrong is the best way I can say it. So if we actually lie to someone, or we break the law, or we do something that we really know we should not have done, or we intentionally hurt someone, that is objective guilt. So that's kind of like the guilt. That's not a bad thing sometimes for us to have that emotion, because we did do something and we want to be good people in the world. So objective guilt can be very functional. It can stop us from engaging in harmful situations or doing harmful actions. So that's one part of guilt, which is why guilt becomes complicated, because there is a little bit of a good part of guilt. We need it. We need to have some guilt in order to kind of keep us accountable for our own behavior in the world. Where we get into trouble is with the second type of guilt, which is subjective guilt. So when we are feeling subjective guilt, that's more personal. That's something that we tend to put onto ourselves because we're not living up to our own expectations, or we're telling ourselves that we have done something wrong and maybe we have not. So that's the type of guilt we're going to dive into in this episode. So I'm a huge fan of Brené Brown, and I'm sure probably a lot of my listeners may be also. And I love what Brené often describes between the difference between guilt and shame. So she refers to guilt as being something that we say to ourselves, like, I did something bad. So it's more behavioral focused. Versus shame, where we say, I am bad. So I'm somehow inherently flawed. It's shame is, you know, who we believe at our core we truly are. So shame, it can often get confused with guilt. And shame, you know, the research supports this, that when we're operating in shame, we're usually in a really bad place because we're no longer focused on the behaviors. We're focused on a belief system that we inherently believe this to be true about ourselves. So I'm not going to focus on that, but it's just something to keep in mind, because sometimes people get guilt and shame confused. But guilt still is a really detrimental emotion. It's heavy and it really affects our mental well-being. And when we're constantly living in a place of subjective guilt and believing that our choices are wrong, or our behaviors are wrong, or that we are responsible for all things, and we're not able to let that go and think about it outside the box of ourselves, it can become very mentally debilitating. Sometimes we're going to have an appropriate level of guilt for things that we've done. So if we have to make a hard decision, or something is presented to us where we have to make a difficult choice, we might have some guilt around that, and it could be appropriate. But when it becomes excessive, like we can't forgive ourselves for the decision that we made, or we said something bad about someone and we know it wasn't right, we've apologized, but we're not able to let it go. Sometimes it can just be based in perfectionism and people pleasing. So this is really where my guilt gets triggered, is the thought of making someone unhappy or disappointing someone, making someone sad. That really is a hard one for me. And sometimes in life, I know I've had to make those choices, or I've done those things. And certainly when I was younger, I know I did those things, or let someone down, or didn't keep my word. And that's why, you know, I really always talk about integrity, because it's important that I try to live in integrity, because if I don't, that kicks in my guilt. And I already know I have a tendency to go to guilt. So to be honest and compassionate with myself is a very important value to me, because otherwise I can go down the guilt cycle really, really quick. And sometimes you can't help when you make a decision that's in the best interest for you or what you believe to be the best interest for you moving forward. It might hurt someone else. It might disappoint someone else. But if you can sit and be comfortable with your choices, then you're not going to go down that place of excessive guilt and beat yourself up over it. And sometimes it's taking longer to make those hard choices. Sometimes it's listening to a deeper part of you, which I refer to, you know, as our soul, our intuition, like something inside you that's saying this just isn't right. It doesn't feel good. And what comes as a result of making a decision or a choice ultimately can make someone else unhappy or say bad things about you or think you're not a good person or, you know, be hurtful to you. And as humans, we are affected by that. You know, we are human beings. We have feelings. So to not have any guilt is probably not even possible. But to go down a place of excessive guilt is not going to serve you either. And even if you've done something intentionally wrong, being able to own that and go to the person and apologize can make a huge difference, and a sincere apology. And again, this is good role modeling for our children because we are creating humans for the next generation. And I really believe we have too many people out in the world now only thinking of themselves and not thinking of other people or taking, you know, things to an extreme of, you know, of only focusing on themselves and not modeling good behavior for our kids. So a little bit of guilt is not a bad thing. Excessive guilt is where we really get into trouble. And one way, you know, to kind of know, okay, is this going into a place of being excessive? So you want to just take a step back if you're experiencing any type of guilt and just reflect on the situation in an objective manner. So consider whether your guilt is warranted. Like, did you truly do something intentionally to hurt someone? Or is it rooted in any type of unrealistic expectation? So are you expecting too much from someone else that they just could never possibly give you? Or is it based in reality? Like, I have these expectations and I would think that most other people would too. And sometimes this is a good place to process this with a therapist, with a coach, with a friend that you trust, you know, just saying, hey, can I run this by you? Because I'm feeling really guilty about this. And I want to make sure I'm looking at this in an objective way. I want to make sure I'm not missing anything, because perhaps I am, because I want to handle this correctly. But I also don't want to make myself feel excessively guilty if I'm not thinking about this in a very logically. And it's okay to do that. And I think it's important that we turn to other people in our life sometimes when we can't get out of our own heads and process this. Because if we don't, guilt leads to perfectionism and really poor self-image. And they can play off each other. So I always say I'm a recovering perfectionist and a recovering people pleaser. And I say recovering because I still am. And so I'm always working on it. But those things are definitely related to guilt, as well as having a negative self-image. So if you're walking around always feeling like you're never good enough, you don't look good enough, you don't have the right this, the right that, or, you know, the right car, the right amount of money, all the stuff, like, you're going to be filled with bad negative feelings, and then you're going to start to put guilt. And guilt, although it can be useful in little doses, not in big doses, it can be plaguing. And then it sets you up to become more perfectionistic. You have to do more. It has to be perfect. It has to always be right. You can't ever go outside of that strict perimeter you set for yourself. Or, you know, you're going to do things at the cost of your own mental, physical, and spiritual well-being. So when I work with people on burnout, you know, I mean, it could be considered a symptom, right? That you're just not living your best life, obviously. But one of the things that I see come out a lot with burnout behind it is this feeling of guilt. And that's one of the things I really work deeply with women on, is letting go of the guilt. And behind the guilt is perfectionism and this need to please everyone and to do everything correctly. And sometimes it could be our family. You know, it could be, I have to do this to please my brother or my spouse or my kids, right? And kids, I'm going to get to that in a second. They are great at making us feel guilty. And it's hard when our kids look at us with disappointment and our decision to say no, it can be hard. But we're also teaching them that you can't make someone feel bad for their choices. So guilt really can, when it's not looked at, it's not addressed, it can lead to some really bad things. And in my years of working with eating disorders, you know, a huge part, especially with anorexia, is perfectionism and people pleasing. And most clients that I've worked with underneath the eating disorder is this real hard, heavy sense of guilt. That they have to be better, they have to do more, they have to be perfect, they have to do all the have to's. And it's sad. So we want to really look at this and stop being so hard on ourselves, because I think this is a really important thing that we need to be teaching our kids. So let me just give you some common examples of some situations where, you know, guilt may come up. So, you know, obviously I said, you know, a person may feel guilty after lying to a friend or a family member. And, you know, when we lie, like, okay, that should cause guilt. Again, it can be a functional emotion. That's why it's so confusing. So that would be a situation where it's functional and our moral compass is kind of saying like, oh, you lied. Now, we can have little lies or big lies, but usually that type of guilt is kind of like a radar saying, okay, that maybe wasn't our best decision. Now, if we make a mistake and we unintentionally hurt someone, or we didn't, you know, we were busy and we forgot something, you know, like I am horrible. I don't know why, but like sometimes, you know, like forgetting a birthday or something like that, it's like, you know, like, just owning it, you know, and saying, oh my God, like I didn't, you know, I know that's an important day, or oh my goodness, I'm so sorry, I forgot. Or if someone asked you to do something and you didn't remember to do it, or you forgot about something, or you just made a mistake, you know, like, you know, you did something wrong, it wasn't intentional, but then you're holding it and you can't let it go. That's where guilt really rears its ugly head, because we are humans and we are going to do things wrong. We are going to make mistakes. None of us are perfect. But when we can't just say that to ourselves and let it go, then we're going down this really vicious cycle of guilt. If you constantly like, you know, cancel things at the last minute on people or don't follow through. Like, again, functional guilt. We shouldn't do that, you know, and that might be something that you just need to look at without beating yourself up and say, why do I do that? Why? What is that? Or, you know, when I do that, I'm sure it frustrates other people. And again, this comes back how they're all tied together with boundaries, because we're usually saying yes and then maybe canceling because we're not really fully committed, or we're overextending ourselves and thinking we can do it all. And then at the last minute, breaking plans with someone when that's, you know, that's going to be more hurtful to the person than if you just said no to begin with. You know, hurting someone's feelings, sometimes things pop out of our mouth that aren't so pretty. And, you know, or we did something that we didn't, we said something that we really didn't mean to be offensive. Again, it's apologizing and letting it go, but not going to this place of feeling unworthy of being able to make a mistake, right? Because then we're going down a vicious cycle of not allowing ourselves to be imperfect. So moms often feel a lot of guilt because of societal expectations to be the perfect parent. You know, and especially with moms like myself who waited until later in life to start a family and want to do it all, you know, the right way and do all the good things and go into it with, you know, this huge thing of, you know, I don't want to do to my kids what my parents, you know, did to me or what I see other parents doing. And especially being a psychologist, like, I, you know, work with kids for years and supervise doctoral students who work with kids for years. And some of the things they would come in and talk about that their parents had done, sometimes intentionally, sometimes not intentionally, and the scars that can leave on a child. Or when we see other parents doing stuff that we're like, ooh, I don't think I would do that, you know. We are setting ourselves up for like living this high expectation of not disappointing our kids and feeling bad when we do. And we've got to learn, and again, I'm a work in progress, it's okay sometimes to disappoint them. Because in life, in society, our kids are going to be disappointed. Life is not a fair place. There's things that happen in our world that can rock our world and is upsetting. And so we have to, as painful as it is, learn to teach this to our children. And sometimes that is disappointing them. Moms feel really guilty a lot of times about not spending enough time with their kids because they have so many things on their plate to have to juggle. Not being able to provide everything that a child desires because kids are always going to want more stuff, or for prioritizing their own needs. So being able, you know, to say to your child like, ooh, mommy really needs to have a girl's night. So I'm not going to be able to, you know, be home tonight. And if they feel a little sad, like being able to go within yourself to say, no, I'm doing this in the long run to take care of myself so I can be a better mom. I think explaining that to your kids is wonderful. I will often tell my kids, like, I have to go and do this thing because if I don't, I don't think I'm going to be in a good mental place to be at my best self. And my kids are there. They understand that now, you know, where I say, if mommy doesn't do this self-care thing for herself, I'm not going to be good for tomorrow or the next day. You know, the other day I was so exhausted and I told them, I said, okay, I'm getting grumpy. I need to go to sleep and start fresh tomorrow. And if I don't go to bed right now, then I'm not going to be good for tomorrow. And they got that. So even saying, I need to stop right now, I cannot do this, that's fine. Or teaching your kids that, you know, even if you have the money to do the things they always want you to do, that it's not okay to get everything you want. And here's why, because the rest of the world doesn't work that way. You know, you're going to have to go out into the world and people are going to say no to you. And I have to teach you how to be okay with hearing that. I need you to be able to handle disappointment when I'm not going to be there to do it for you. Now, there are certain situations where you do need to get involved to protect your kid because they're too young to do that for themselves. But in little situations, you know, in teaching them as you go along, this is why I'm doing this, those are teaching moments. kids who are upset because you have to work. I mean, of course they're upset. And I get this for my kids too, especially with running my own business. It's like, I don't know. They think that I'm just not working. And sometimes it's hard because I am enjoying my work. And because it's not structured, they have a hard time understanding I still have a job. And if I don't do this, you know, we do not have money to live off of or for us to do the things you want to do. And I really think one of the things I've seen a lot with people is, you know, and I don't, this is a societal thing, but it's almost like a badge of honor when people are working a job where, you know, it's like manual labor and they're coming home and they're exhausted. And it's like somehow that is looked at as, well, that was work. But if you're doing something that's more like therapy, which can also be very mentally exhausting, that's not like real work. And kids don't understand that. But I think sometimes it's like in society, you know, it's like we have that mentality of certain jobs are more demanding, or it's like almost more acceptable if you're going and you're having that hard work that you get to say more about it than someone who likes their job. They're both hard, right? And we're always doing this comparison thing. So I think being able to explain, like, all jobs are hard, you know, to a certain extent, or you can explain to your kids, like, I did X, Y, and Z to get myself to this point. But even if I am working for myself, I still have to have a schedule or nothing's going to get done. So I see a lot of mom entrepreneurs push their own work off to, you know, the side, myself included at times, where it's like, well, that's not real work. And it's like, well, it's all part of the work, you know, that we're putting out into the world to do to make money eventually, because we all have to have money as a currency to function in this society. So we need to explain it to our kids because they're not going to get it. And, you know, they're going to hear different things from friends and school. And so we have to just stick to our guns on explaining, like, I don't want to feel guilty about this. This is what life is. I have to go do this. And then not doing it to ourselves, because beating ourselves up the whole time that we are at work or when we're doing something for self-care, we're going to take all of that away from ourselves. And we're not going to be even able to enjoy the things that we do enjoy because we're in that guilt cycle. And guilt can become very addictive. It's almost like when you grow up with guilt, you know. So if you had a parent that made you feel guilty, and, you know, those kind of sly, passive aggressive comments that come out like, oh, must be nice, or I wish I had that, or, oh, look at you. Those are all guilt ridden. Or, you know, oh, you're going out with your friends. What am I going to do? Or, you know, how could you do this to me? You know, all of that lives in us. And so as little kids, we're shaped to have that. And then we go out into the world and we get it some more. And when we don't understand what's happening, we're just going to keep repeating it. And so when we break the cycle of guilt, it's going to feel uncomfortable because it's almost like there's something missing. We're not beating ourselves up. And then I always tell people that change, you know, can be really uncomfortable, but it doesn't mean like doing the same thing over and over, like going into guilt, that can feel comfortable because we're used to it, but it's not healthy. It's not healthy. It's comfortable because it's familiar. We do it all the time. So when you start to change it, it's going to feel uncomfortable, but that doesn't mean it's not okay. It's not right. That uncomfortable feeling means change is happening. And maybe looking at that as, ooh, wait a minute, that's that thing where I'm feeling uncomfortable. This is good. I'm doing the work. And if we can start looking at it like that, we're going to be less likely to just engage in the same destructive behaviors. And for moms, like the comparison game, it's so hard, you know, like anytime you go on social media and you see what some other family's doing, or something that some kid got, or a party that someone had for their child, or a vacation someone took with their kid, all of the stuff, it just makes us feel horrible. And it's hard not to. And remembering you have special moments with your child too. You're going to create your moments in your way. And maybe you're not giving them that. But again, remember, it's social media. We don't know what is really happening behind the scenes of the pretty picture or the video. Sometimes it is great. Sometimes not so much. But it's not serving you to compare yourself to what some other mom is doing. And it's a hard one to break. It's a hard one. And even if you can't completely break it, just start checking in with yourself and saying, why am I doing that? Why am I comparing myself to so-and-so? Do I really want to be like that person? Do I really feel that I'm less of a mom because I didn't go and take my kid there, or didn't do this thing, or don't have that thing? Let's break that. Check in with yourself. Get off of it if it's triggering you and making you feel bad. Like, don't continue to engage in it, because why? You know? And I have really, I'm on social because of my business, but I have really limited any type of, like, my personal Facebook page over the last few years. I've just kind of not been on as much because it's a lot. Like, I'll try and go in and check, but, you know, it consumes a lot of time. And a lot of times it just ends up making you feel not so great. I don't even really like doing it for my business, but I have to. So I am, you know, it's kind of like what goes along with this whole thing. But, you know, just taking a breath and pausing and saying, okay. No one's perfect. You know, no one's going to post the real bad stuff. So some people do, I guess. But be kind and stop comparing yourself, because it's time for moms to practice self-compassion and kindness to ourselves, and knowing that if you're working and you're working a lot, it's likely because you're trying to help your family. You're trying to provide for your kids. If your house is a mess, stop feeling guilty about it, because we're all working moms who have a messy house. My God, over the weekend, I had my friend Alice come over, and we were watching a movie with her son and my kids, and the TV wouldn't work downstairs. We were sitting up in the bedroom where I am redecorating my office. So all the crap from my office is in the bedroom, with five of us sitting around the TV in my messed up bedroom. But you know what? It felt good to just say, I don't care. You know, it's my friend. It's my sister friend, right? Like, who cares? I actually love when I go over to a mom's house and it's messy. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel like, okay, thank God. So let's be kinder and focus on what's really important. And, you know, there's other things that come up for moms with guilt. A lot of moms that I work with, you know, are getting to a point, you know, maybe in a relationship or their marriage, where they're thinking about, you know, getting a divorce because they're no longer, you know, feeling that this is the right relationship. And that usually isn't, you know, I work with some real high quality people, and for them to come to that decision is a hard one. And a lot of guilt, a lot, of course, because I think, especially for women, we really feel responsible for a family dynamic. We really, you know, feel bad when we can't make something that's so important for our children that we thought was going to be their future work. So a lot of times I see moms struggle so much, even though they're so unhappy in their relationship, and perhaps they've tried to do all they can do to make the relationship work. But again, you can't change the other person. And so when they finally get to that realization that, okay, like if I'm going to stay in this place, I've got to be okay with this. And can I live my life this way? And if they want to live at a higher level, the answer is usually no. But the guilt of, you know, feeling responsible for, you know, what I hear women often say is breaking up the family, is just a lot to put on one person. And a lot of times as moms, we protect our kids. So we keep a lot of information from them because they don't need to know everything. So that can be hard because, you know, if a woman is feeling really bad in her relationship and she's terrified to leave that relationship or what it's going to do to her kids, but she also knows that she is never going to live the life she deserves to live if she stays, that's a hard choice. So I often tell moms, like, if you are this unhappy in a relationship, yes, like you, it's time that you move on because you deserve to be happy and you can't be at your best self for your kids when you're not happy. So that could be, you know, choosing, you know, to end a relationship, a marriage. It could be saying to your children, you know, we can't spend time around grandma anymore because of XYZ. You know, whatever is like a big decision, but you know it's depleting you, and being able to explain to your kids, like, this is going to look a little different and this is how things are going to operate. And it's hard when you get the reactions from your kids when there's sadness and tears and all the emotions that, of course, they're going to have to continue to move forward, right? And for women, this is such a big one. And I, you know, often see a lot of women staying in relationships like this because of their kids and their family. And I truly understand that. I do. And it's hard. And being able to just say, okay, but, you know, I want to be the best version of myself. And I think in any of the situations with guilt, I want to be the best version of me. And this isn't serving me. And why is this not serving me? Because I think we always want the answers behind our stories. So it's fine to say to yourself, it's not serving me because. And children can unintentionally make us feel guilty about a numerous number of things. So it could be the work-life balance. It could be if we decide we're going to go do something for ourselves. It could be about discipline. So if something happens and you have to take something away from them as a punishment for what they did, yeah, they're not going to be happy. But, you know, in those situations, nothing to feel guilty for, because if your child is misbehaving, it's our job to, you know, give the repercussion for that. And we need to do this to raise good humans. And I'll get into a parenting episode later on where, you know, I'm talking about what happens if we don't stick to our guns and hold our children accountable for what they did. And don't back down on your word when you say you're taking, you know, a device away for a week. You have to stick to that because otherwise they're going to know they can play you. And yes, you may feel guilty about it. I've had parents come in and say, oh my God, I cannot take my kid's cell phone away. And I'm like, why not? That's their lifeline. They can't survive, blah, blah, blah. And I'll say, well, then that's their most important thing. And it seems like that would be a good punishment that fits the crime, you know, depending on what it is. And, you know, it's like if they have an emergency or they're going somewhere, you know, you could turn off, you know, any of their socials on the phone so they have, you know, a way to contact you if there's an emergency. But you have to really stick to it. And it works. It really works. Maybe it's taking away screen time, limiting screen time, I struggle with this one with the boys, you know, like, please, oh, the day was so hard at school today. I just need to decompress and you know, and it's hard sometimes when we're busy because we're like, okay, I have 25 more things I could do too. But really realizing, you know, we have to put limits on things. And again, being a mom's a hard job, but not feeling guilty for it. A lot of moms feel guilty when they're not spending quality time with their kids. And it's always important to look at that. Like, our kids do need quality time with us that's non-distracted. So not always checking our phone, doing all the things, engaging in a conversation. And it doesn't have to be a long time. It's the quality, not the quantity. So again, that's where guilt can be either productive. Maybe it's pushing on you to say, am I being present with my child? Or I really did give them a lot of quality time. I'm allowed to kind of do some other things now. And you know your child best. And maybe asking them, like, do you feel like when we're sitting out, you know, and doing something together, do you feel connected? It's okay to ask. They'll tell you the truth. They don't have any hesitation usually about that. But guilt is a very common experience by parents because we love our kids. We don't want them to feel sad. We don't want them to hurt. So it's hard to be the one setting all the boundaries. You know, I just want to end with, a lot of times I'll get questions asked to me by clients of, why do people go out of their way to make people feel guilty? And you know that's happening when you feel a little icky inside or manipulated mentally, like, ooh, what just happened here? Or that didn't feel right to me. It's usually because of, you know, passive aggressive or aggressive behavior, and it doesn't feel good. So why do some people, like, you know, there's some people who are horrified by, you know, any type of guilt whatsoever, you know, or just feeling like, oh my God, I would never want to feel like I did that to someone. But then there are people who use guilt kind of as a tool, as a way of being in the world to get what they want from other people. So that kind of thing is really based on, if someone's doing that to you and you're kind of wanting to protect yourself, like, it usually has to do with power and control. It can have a lot to do with emotional manipulation. So guilt trips can be a form of emotional manipulation where someone's trying to evoke a strong emotional response in you, and they want that in order to gain sympathy for themselves. And you'll feel it. The power and control one I just mentioned, it's, you know, making someone feel guilty so they can try and influence you to give them what they want. There's also insecurity and fear. So sometimes people will use guilt trips as a defense mechanism. So they're really, it's more about their own insecurities and fears. And they somehow believe that by making others feel guilty, they can prevent themselves from being hurt or abandoned. So it's like a defense mechanism. Like, you know, if they're intentionally hurting you, it's because they don't feel very good about themselves. It could be lack of effective communication skills. Like, some people just aren't good at communicating, and may struggle to express their needs in a healthy way. That's why I'm always talking about being assertive and saying what you really want, because otherwise it's going to come out in a sideways manner. Or it could be used also as a way to communicate frustration, but it's not coming out in a healthy way. But when those things are happening, just, you know, be aware, like, that's a real thing. It happens a lot. And knowing, like, am I feeling guilty because someone's trying to make me feel that way? And if they are, what did they just do? So you can pay attention to that. And that's something you also really want to process with a therapist. to kind of pick up on that pattern of, am I being, you know, kind of made to feel guilty when I shouldn't? And a lot of times when women are in any type of abusive relationship, you know, this really feeds it because it's playing on their self-worth and they're constantly made to feel guilty, and it keeps them in that vicious loop. Because then they start to really believe that's who they are, or believe things that the person's telling them that aren't true, or making it seem like they're the bad one. So that's a real tricky one. And that's something you definitely want to, you know, process with a therapist for sure. So, you know, looking at guilt in a bigger perspective, you know, our guilt, as I started the episode, it does come from, you know, our upbringing, cultural influences, personal values. It can be shaped by religious beliefs. Religion's a big one. When I worked at the University of Scranton, it's a Jesuit university. And oh my goodness, I had so many clients come in with what I referred to as Catholic guilt. And, you know, that was a big focus a lot of times on work with people. So, you know, it can stem from some really deep-seated values that are handed down from generation to generation. And that's why we're talking about it here, because I want you to break the pattern. I want you to break this for your kids and for yourself, because we are able to now talk to each other like this through a podcast, to be open about it. And, you know, generations before us were not able to do that. And now that we know better, we can do different. I always believe that. So that's why we share this stuff, you know, and also just being able to look at yourself and think, is this healthy or unhealthy? It's as simple as that. Healthy guilt is like, yeah, I kind of did something bad and I should apologize for that. Or I don't like that I'm doing that and it's not sitting well with me. I need to change it. Unhealthy guilt is you really think about the situation and you know why you did it. You feel like, you know, it was the right decision. It doesn't feel great. It's maybe has some emotional component, but you know it was the right choice, but yet you're still letting yourself feel bad about it. You're still putting that on yourself. That's not healthy. So it can be as simple as just checking in and saying, is this healthy guilt or unhealthy guilt? And if it is healthy guilt, why is it healthy? If it's unhealthy, why is it unhealthy? And just the simple practice of doing this a little bit every day will help you really come to realize, where's this guilt coming from? Why am I doing it? And, you know, now it's time to let it go. Because as soon as it's unhealthy, I want you to try and let it go. We don't have time to be stuck in guilt. And I am saying this from someone who spent a lot of time stuck in guilt. And I'm trying to help you not do the same stuff. So it was a big topic. I would love to hear any comments you have about this episode. Maybe share some examples of, you know, when this has ever happened to you. So you can find me on the socials and you can always email me at drcynthia@mamashrink.com. And I look forward to our next episode. And please, if you like this episode, leave me a review, as they always help. And as always, take care of yourself and have a wonderful week. Bye, mamas. Thank you so much for listening. And I have some good news. I just created a Facebook group exclusively for us moms over 40 who are in the midst of parenting. If it sounds like something you're interested in, we would love to have you over there. You can find it at Facebook groups/ Dr. Cynthia Midlife Mamas. That's Dr. Cynthia Midlife Mamas. If you like this podcast, we're going to go deep on all these conversations with a group of women who are parenting at midlife, and we'll also get your journey. I'm so excited to have this. So until next time, remember, self-care is not selfish. It's essential.